Welcome to Christian Basics, Lesson 4 of this course, a central lesson, a lesson about Jesus Christ. I'm going to present material written by Dr. Ed Rules, the author, and I'm going to be adding some comments as well as we go through this material, seeing what the Bible teaches about Jesus Christ. Introduction. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they became afraid and tried to hide from God. They knew they had disobeyed God and they felt ashamed. They no longer wanted to have God in their lives. But God in His love sought them out and talked with them. God told them that they would surely be punished for their disobedience, but He also brought them a message of hope. He assured them that suffering and pain and death would not have the last word in their lives. They would not have to live forever in despair. Someday, God said, the evil one Satan, who had deceived them, would be completely crushed and destroyed. Satan would not have the final victory. God would. The person who would accomplish this great victory was Jesus Christ. Jesus would not only destroy Satan, but He would also bring forgiveness and peace and would restore people to a loving and joyful relationship with God. Adam and Eve did not understand all of this, but God knew exactly what He was going to do in the future. In this lesson, you'll learn more about this wonderful person we know as Jesus. Question 1. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the eternal Son of God who came to earth as a human being. Before His birth, He existed from eternity as the Word of God through whom the world was created. As God's beloved eternal Son, Jesus is one of the three divine persons of the Holy Trinity, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Scripture references John 1, verses 1, 3, and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17 says, by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And clearly in this context, it's speaking of Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. Hebrews 1, verses 2 and 3 say, in these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. These are things that are said of Jesus before He came into the world as a man. He is the one through whom all things were created, the glory of God, the Son of God, the majesty of God. And then when Jesus did come to earth, something interesting happened on the time when He was baptized by John the Baptist. The heavens were opened to Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on Him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The voice of God the Father speaking of Jesus as His Son, just after the Spirit of God has descended in visible form to show that this is the One who is united and filled with the Holy Spirit. What else does the Bible tell us about Jesus? Jesus willingly humbled Himself and left His position in heavenly glory so that He could come to earth as a servant and give His life for the salvation of human beings. Jesus did not seek to hold on to His position in heaven, but freely laid it aside so that sinful human beings might find forgiveness for their sins and live with Him forever in glory. Scripture references Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. John 17, verses 4 through 5, Jesus said, Father, I glorified You on earth, having accomplished the work that You gave Me to do, And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed. Jesus says this the night before he dies. And he's speaking of all that he has done for his Father on earth, of the one last thing that he's going to do in offering his life for the salvation of the world. And then he says, after he's done all that, he is going to return to the glory he had with the Father before the world ever existed. How did Jesus come into our world? Jesus was born as a human baby to a Jewish virgin named Mary, as the prophet Isaiah had prophesied hundreds of years earlier. Scripture references Isaiah 7, verse 14. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Those were the prophecies given 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And here's what happened. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 23 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Luke 1, 26 through 33 speaks of a visit of the angel to Mary. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Question 4. How was it possible for Mary to have a child since she was a virgin? Mary conceived her child through the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. Both Mary and her fiancé, Joseph, were totally surprised by the message of the angel who told them what was going to happen. But in humility and faith, they accepted and believed what the angel had told them. Scripture references Luke 1, verses 34 through 35. Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. Matthew 1, verse 20. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So it's very clear. This child was conceived not by the ordinary means, with any husband's involvement or any man's involvement. It was God's Holy Spirit who created a new humanity in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Question 5. Where was Jesus born? Jesus was born in a small town called Bethlehem, a few miles from Jerusalem in the land of Israel. Because there was no room in the Bethlehem Inn when Joseph and Mary came to the city from their home in Nazareth, Jesus was born in a cattle stall. By being born in Bethlehem, Jesus fulfilled another Old Testament prophecy made several hundred years earlier by the prophet Micah. Micah 5, verse 2 says, but you, O Bethlehem, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient times. And Luke 2, verses 4 through 6 says, Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. They had to go there to register for a census for taxation. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and that fulfilled the prophecy of Micah that the baby would be born in Bethlehem. Question 6. Why was he given the name Jesus? Jesus was given his personal name because the name Jesus means Savior, or God saves. Mary and Joseph did not choose this name themselves. The name was given to them by the angel who told them about the child who was going to be born to Mary. The baby would be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. Scripture references. The angel said to Joseph, "She, Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Matthew 1:21. And 1 Timothy 1, verse 15 says, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." What a blessed name. There's a song that says how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ears. And the reason that name of Jesus is so sweet, because it means God saves. And in Jesus, he does. Question 7. Why is Jesus sometimes called Christ or the Christ? Christ was originally more of a title than a personal name. The word Christ means the anointed one. It has the same meaning as the word Messiah in the Old Testament. The word Christos is a Greek word. The word Mashiach or Messiah is a Hebrew word. And so they both mean the same thing. In the Old Testament times, a person was chosen by God for a special role, such as a prophet, a priest, or a king, and then was anointed with olive oil in a special ceremony. Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, promised in the Old Testament. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the greatest prophet, our only high priest, and our eternal king. So you had prophets, priests, and kings anointed with olive oil, Jesus anointed with a greater anointing by the Holy Spirit to be the ultimate prophet and priest and king. Both in the New Testament and in church history, we therefore read about Jesus, Jesus Christ, Christ, or Christ Jesus. Each of these names is appropriate, and many people use one name or the other without giving specific thought to the meaning of each name. Other believers, however, are very careful to use one name rather than another, depending on the specific context in which the name is used. Scripture references. John 4:25 and 26, we read that someone once said to Jesus, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Jesus was talking with a woman at the well, a woman who had lived a very bad life, but who was still searching. She wanted the Messiah, the Christ, and Jesus was the one. Matthew 16, verses 15 and 16 tells us that Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." John 11, verse 27 tells us that Martha said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." So Jesus is Christ, Messiah, the Anointed One. Question 8. Was Jesus truly as human as we are? Yes, Jesus had a human nature that was just like ours, except he was perfectly sinless. Because he was truly human, Jesus was sometimes thirsty, hungry, tired, and in need of sleep. He could also be tempted by Satan, as we see in Matthew 4 and in other parallel passages in the Gospels. Because he was human, Jesus not only could pay the penalty for our sins, but he can also understand our limitations. He can sympathize with our weaknesses. He can understand when we fall. He also knows and understands our need for guidance, instruction, encouragement, comfort, and rest. He truly is a perfect Savior, fully God, but also human, just like us. Scripture references. Hebrews 2, verse 17 says, "Jesus had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might make propitiation for the sins of the people." He had to be one of us in order to pay the penalty and sacrifice himself for our sins. He couldn't do that if he wasn't one of us. Hebrews 4, verses 14 and 15 says, "Jesus, the Son of God, in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." 1 Peter 2, 22 and 23 says, "He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." So we see the perfection, the sinlessness of Jesus, but at the same time, his full humanity. And we read many passages where Jesus was sleeping in a boat because he was exhausted, or he'd been busy with the crowds for a long time and he just had to get apart on a mountainside by himself to rest a while. So we see the human challenges that he faced that we have as well, but also his moral holiness and absolute perfection. Question 9, what did Jesus do while he was on earth? Well, the Bible tells us very little about the first 30 years of Jesus' life. We read a little about his birth and an incident when he was 12 years old, when he wanted to serve his Father in heaven, and when his parents didn't quite understand what he was up to. But in those early years, we don't read a lot about Jesus. During most of that time, he apparently lived with his parents and brothers and sisters in the city of Nazareth. Around the age of 30, Jesus began his public ministry, going through the towns of Israel, teaching and preaching, healing the sick, casting out demons, forgiving sins, raising the dead, and helping those who were in need. Scripture references Matthew 9, verse 35. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Matthew 11, verse 5 describes the results of what Jesus was doing. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear and the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. Demons also came out of many crying, "You are the Son of God." According to Luke 4, verse 41, we read many stories where demons were frightened when Jesus came to someone who was possessed by the demons, and they would panic and cry out, and then Jesus would drive them out because they knew his greatness. And one of the things Jesus did was drive back the power of the evil one. Luke 7, verse 48 tells us what Jesus said to a notorious sinner who repented. He simply said, "Your sins are forgiven." Jesus scandalized people when he would just declare somebody's sins forgiven. But remember, they would always say, "Well, only God has the right to forgive sins." And they got that part of it right. Jesus is God. And one of the things he did on earth was just come to people and say, "You're forgiven." And he still comes to us today to say that we're forgiven. Question 10. How did the people respond to the miracles and teachings of Jesus? Well, many of the people were amazed. Some of them knew about Jesus' family and they wondered where he acquired his knowledge and his abilities. Others gladly followed him because of his powerful teaching and the wonderful miracles he performed. Many of the leaders opposed Jesus' teaching and accused him of breaking traditional Jewish laws. However, large numbers of the common people, as well as some leaders, came to believe in Jesus. Scripture references Mark 7, verse 37. They were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well." John 2, verse 23 says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing." John 12, verse 42 says, "Many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue." There are people who would hear Jesus and they would just be astonished at his teaching because he taught them not as the scribes and the Pharisees and the scholars, but as one who just had authority and they could hear it in his words. There were some people even who were sent to arrest Jesus who were just kind of common policemen or guards. And when they went to arrest him, they heard him talking and they couldn't seize him. They couldn't arrest him. And finally, they went back to the guys who sent them to do the arrest. And they were asked, why didn't they bring Jesus back? And Jesus, they had heard him and they said, "No one ever spoke the way this man did before." So there was this quality about Jesus that some people were just astonished and amazed. And others, well, they more and more began to hate him. Question 11. Did everyone who saw Jesus' miracles or who heard Jesus' teachings believe in him? No. Many of the Jewish leaders were jealous of Jesus and rejected him and his teachings. They knew about Jesus' family and would not believe that Jesus had truly come down from heaven. They were especially upset by Jesus' claim that he truly was the Son of God. Eventually, they handed him over to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, to be put to death. Scripture references. They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" John 6, verse 42. And then when Jesus is on trial, Matthew 26, 62 through 64, the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, You have said so. Matthew 27, verse 18. Pilate knew it was out of envy that they had delivered Jesus up. Question 12. Did either the Jews or the Roman governor find any good reason to judge Jesus worthy of death? No. The Jewish leaders tried hard to find reasons why Jesus should be put to death, but they couldn't find any. Pilate, the Roman governor, also personally examined Jesus. After the examination, Pilate publicly announced that he found Jesus to be innocent of any wrongdoing. Scripture references Matthew 26, 59, and 60 says, The chief priests and the whole council were seeking false evidence against Jesus that they might put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. And none of those false witnesses could agree with each other or come up with the same trumped up charges. They were all saying different things, and their lies were not getting them anywhere. So no guilt was found in Jesus. John 19, verse 4, Pilate went out again and said to them, to the Jews gathered there, See, I'm bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him. So Pilate had examined the matter carefully and found Jesus guiltless. Question 13. Why did Pilate finally decide to put Jesus to death, even though he knew Jesus was innocent? Jesus claimed to be the King of the Jews, spiritual king, but King of the Jews. And the Jewish leaders persuaded Pilate that he would get in deep trouble with the Roman emperor if he let someone go free who claimed to be a king. The Jewish leaders made such an uproar that Pilate finally gave in to their demands and selfishly gave up on making a just decision. Scripture references John 19, verse 12 says, Pilate sought to release Jesus, but the Jews cried out, If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. And Matthew 27, verse 24 says, So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. Now, in reading about the role that some of the Jewish leaders played in having Jesus crucified, despite the fact that Jesus was innocent, we have to be very careful. There have been some during history called the Jews Christ killers and have tried to blame the Jews. But let's remember a couple of things. One is Jesus was a Jew. All of Jesus' apostles were Jews. His family was Jewish. All his early followers were Jewish. It is very foolish, therefore, to blame the Jews for the death of Jesus. You might as well credit the Jews for Jesus being a Jew or for all of his followers being Jews. So we should not be anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish just because some Jewish leaders at the time of Jesus were involved in having him killed. The Roman authorities were also involved, and so all of humanity is sinful and fallen. Another thing to keep in mind, it was not just Pilate, it was not just the Jews, it was their wickedness, but the Bible also says that these men did what God's plan had decided beforehand would happen. So when we ask, why did Jesus die even though he was innocent, at one level we can say it was Pilate and his cowardice, it was some of those Jewish leaders and their nastiness, but behind it all, and all that wickedness, there is a higher and greater plan going on. Question 14. How did Jesus die? The Roman soldiers mocked Jesus, spit on him, beat him, put a crown of thorns on his head, and then led him away to a place called Golgotha, meaning the skull, where he was nailed to a wooden cross. Scripture references Matthew 27:27-31 says, Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him, and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! They spit on him, and took the reed, and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. Matthew 27, verse 37 says, And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Luke 23, verse 44 through 46 says, "It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. When the Son of God was dying, even creation itself was affected. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out in a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last." Question 15. What happened to Jesus' body after he died? Joseph, a secret follower of Jesus — this isn't Jesus' adopted follower, a person named Joseph of Arimathea — was a secret follower of Jesus and a prominent member of the highest Jewish council. So again, not all the Jewish leaders were against Jesus. This man, Joseph, received permission from Pilate to take Jesus' body down from the cross. He and another secret follower of Jesus, a man named Nicodemus, lovingly wrapped the body in a linen cloth, placed it in Joseph's own new tomb, and rolled a big stone in front of the tomb. Scripture references John 19, verse 38 through 39 says, "Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So Joseph came and took away Jesus' body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes." These were special spices for burial. "So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices." Matthew 27, 59 through 60 says, "Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away." It's very interesting to me and very gripping that two people who were afraid to come out into the open as followers of Jesus while Jesus lived and taught and did his miracles did come into the open when Jesus died. Somehow at that point, they gained courage, or God gave them the courage, to come out and identify with Jesus. Perhaps they finally decided this person, it was better to die with him than to live with those phony cronies that they'd been hanging out with. Question 16. Did Jesus' body stay in the grave? I'm already laughing. No! After 3 days, Jesus arose from the dead and came out of the tomb in which he had been placed by Joseph and Nicodemus. A violent earthquake took place, and an angel came down from heaven, rolled away the stone which had been in front of Jesus' tomb, and sat on it. When some of Jesus' followers came to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus, they saw that the stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty, and an angel was there to tell them what had happened. Now, just a note here, the angel did not roll away the stone so that Jesus could get out. A stone couldn't keep Jesus in the tomb. After his resurrection, he could go into a place and out of a place, through locked doors, however he chose to move. So he didn't need the stone rolled away to get out. But the angel rolled away the stone so that the others could see that the tomb was empty. Scripture references Matthew 28 is a great chapter of resurrection. "Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. They were guards who were supposed to keep Jesus' disciples from stealing his body. And they could easily have done that because they were armed to the teeth and very powerful. But they had no chance against the power of Jesus and against his mighty angel. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said.'" Acts 2, verse 24, the Apostle Peter is preaching and he summarizes it all. He says, "God raised Jesus up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." What a statement. We think that a resurrection sounds kind of impossible. The Apostle Peter came to realize that what was impossible was for death to keep its hold on Jesus. Jesus is God. And when God and death came into clash, something had to give. And it was death, not God. It was the power of Jesus that overcame death. And besides that, the Word of God had prophesied that he would die and rise again. And it is impossible for the Word of God to fail. So it is impossible for God to fail. It is impossible for His word not to come true. And therefore, it was impossible for Jesus not to rise from the dead. Impossible for Him to be held by death. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 through 6 says, Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. He appeared to various people. And then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. You can read the story of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection at the end of the four Gospels, Matthew 27 and 28, Mark 15 and 16, Luke 23 and 24, and John 19 and 20. Question 17. If Jesus was sinless, why did He have to die? We've already heard about Pilate's role and the role of those leaders, but here's the real question now. If He was sinless, why did He have to die? Jesus died in our place. He took on Himself the punishment that we deserved. Only Jesus, the perfect and sinless Son of God, could pay the penalty for the sins of others. God the Father, out of love for us, directed His Son to die in order to save sinners. Jesus obeyed His Father in order to glorify God and save us. In His incredible love and grace, Jesus willingly gave His life so that we who put our trust in Him will have eternal life in His glorious presence. Scripture references John 10. Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Nobody could force Jesus to die. He says in John 10, 14 and 18, I lay it down of my own accord. John 14, verse 31, the night before Jesus died, He said, I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Romans 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a free gift for us. It was expensive for Jesus. That's why He died, to give His precious lifeblood so that we would have eternal life as a free gift earned by Him. Romans 5, verse 8 says, God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You want to know why Jesus died? There's lots of explanations, but the ultimate one is love. 1 John 4, verse 10 says, this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And again, Jesus' own words, John 3, 16, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is the heart of Christianity. If you want to talk about Christian basics, this is it. This is Jesus. This is the love of God. This is your sins paid for. This is salvation. Question 18, what did Jesus do after He rose from the grave? For 40 days He stayed on earth to prove to His followers that He was truly alive and also to give them further instructions. During those 40 days, He appeared to His disciples on various occasions and also to more than 500 others at the same time. Scripture references, Jesus presented Himself alive to His disciples after His suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. That's in Acts 1, verse 3. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6 says that Jesus appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, the very end of the book of Matthew, says that Jesus came and said to His disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And then He ascended into heaven. Question 19, what did Jesus do after the 40 days? Jesus returned to heaven, where He now rules over all things in heaven and on earth. Scripture references, so then the Lord Jesus, after He had spoken to His disciples, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Mark 16, verse 19. Luke 24, verse 51. While Jesus blessed His disciples, He parted from them and was carried up into heaven. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 22 says, God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And God put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Question 20. Is Jesus ever going to come back to earth again? Yes. Someday Jesus will return to earth and will gather all believers to live with him forever. Scripture references John 14, verses 2 and 3. Jesus said, In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. He's preparing a place for us. He's coming back, and he's going to put us in the place he's prepared. Acts 1, verses 10 and 11. And while the disciples were gazing into heaven after Jesus had ascended through the clouds, behold, two men stood beside them in white robes. These men were angels, and said, This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come the same way as you saw him go into heaven. That, friends, is the heart of Christianity, because Christianity is Christ. He came down from heaven, though he was equal with God and one with God, to save us. He suffered on the cross after living a perfect life on our behalf. He's been exalted to glory and reigns from there, and he's coming back. Hallelujah. What a Savior.